Welcome to the Hope on the Hard Road podcast, where you and your family can find community, find encouragement, and find hope for the road ahead. Speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so that you will all be together in this. 1 Thessalonians 5:11.
Today we are talking about special needs ministry. We are so blessed to have Garrett Wall on the podcast with us. Garrett serves as the connection minister with the Shine Disability Ministry at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, where he faithfully shepherds kids, teens, and adults with disabilities and their families. As the father of a kiddo with Down syndrome and autism, Garrett is thankful for the ways the Lord is equipping him for disability ministry and for the lifelong journey of experiencing the goodness of God in all people. A graduate of Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky, Garrett worked for nearly 20 years in athletic media relations at both Murray State and at the University of Louisville before God redirected his career path into disability ministry in 2019. A native of Dover, Tennessee, Garrett is married to Becky, and they have two children, Lily and Isaac. Let's listen in as Garrett shares some inspiring stories. Well, hey, Garrett, it's so good that you're on our podcast today. Really excited about this, your background in terms of ministry and what you really bring to the table today. Really quite excited. So thank you for coming on.
It's good to be on. Yeah, when you reached out, it was exciting. I love what you guys are doing, and It's fun. I love talking about what the Lord's done in our family and through our family and through ministry. And so, anytime I get a chance, I'm eager to do that.
Well, appreciate that. So, just to kind of introduce yourself, why don't you give us a little bit of background? Where you are and what led you into this.
So I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been here since 2004. I'm from Tennessee originally, moved to Louisville to work at the University of Louisville. I had a career in college athletics and doing media relations and PR. And while I was at the University of Louisville, I met my wife. And so we've been married for 13 plus years now. We have two kiddos and love living in Louisville. But in that time frame, the Lord led me out of college athletics and into ministry. And that's what I've been doing for 4 plus years now.
Gosh, thank you so much for sharing that. Eric's story is pretty similar. I'll let you guys talk more about that later. But, what led you to start the Shine Ministry, going from that background?
Well, the ministry has actually been around for some time. We found the church because I was being led out of college athletics. I knew the Lord was leading me out of college athletics, but I didn't know where he was leading me. And so I'd actually been pursuing communications jobs and interviewed for a job here at Southeast Christian Church in communications. Did not get that job as the Lord would see it fit. But in that journey, we visited the church. My wife had been here when she was in college, and so we were familiar with the church, and we knew that it had a special needs ministry, but didn't know a lot about it. But when I interviewed for the communications job, we came and brought our family and got a firsthand look at the special needs ministry. We have two kiddos, as I said, a 12-year-old daughter, Lily, and a 10-year-old son, Isaac. And our son has Down syndrome and autism. And so we church has always been hard for us as he's gotten older. I mean, just the reality of having a kiddo with special needs. And so when we visited this church, honestly, we fell in love with the ministry as a family. It was just everything that we were wanting for Isaac and for our family. And so we wrestled with what to do with that. I didn't get the job. But through that job is actually how the Lord led me into ministry. One of the folks that I interviewed with, Trey Brunson, who is now on staff as a pastor at the Church of 1122 down in Jacksonville, Florida. He, aside from my wife, was the first person to encourage me to pursue ministry. I followed up with him after I didn't get that job. And had been pursuing jobs for a while. I mean, it was well over a year at that point that I was trying to find a job to get out of athletics. And I followed up with him as I'd been taught to do. Hey, when you have an interview and it doesn't go well, circle back and try to learn what you did right, what you did wrong. And And so I asked him, hey, was I just a terrible interview? Was I just not the right guy for the job? And he said, hey, I think you may be chasing the wrong thing. Have you ever thought about ministry? Mm. And my wife said something similar the exact same morning. And I laughed at her when she said it. When he said it, I was like, okay, Lord, what are we doing with this?
There's something to this.
Just started on a path of several months of just pursuing the Lord and trying to figure out, okay, if you want to lead me into something totally out of left field, then I want to be willing to do that. But I don't know what to do with that. I was 40 at the time and don't have Bible college and seminary training, all of those kinds of things. And, you know, in my mind, I'm telling myself why I'm not equipped. And then the Lord made it clear along that path that the equipping was coming from being a dad of a kiddo with special needs, being the husband of a wife who's caring for a kiddo with special needs, and just allow him to equip that way. And so in that journey, we started attending the church, not knowing what to do with the career thing. And then shortly after that, the position I have now came open, and Mary Tatum, who is our ministry leader, she thought I would be a good person for the job. And so she reached out to me and said, hey, there's a job posted. I don't know if you'd want it or not, but look at it. And we were just, I about fell out of my chair, you know, just the Lord's timing and how he orchestrated those things, because I'm not creative enough to come up with that on my own.
I couldn't have done that. Isn't that the way?
It's fun to look back and, man, see the Lord's hand in each part of that. And even now, you know, 4+ years later of just kind of standing on all of how God's done some really cool things, and just feel blessed to be a part of what he's doing.
That's really awesome. You can see that kind of two parts of your world coming together with your experiences. I mean, obviously communication and something we're doing here is advocating for the special needs community. I mean, that's a strength of yours, working in college athletics and doing communications there. And then obviously being a father. I mean, there's no better training of the special needs community than living it on a daily basis. So between those things, I mean, obviously, and then watching just God's hand at work, it's a beautiful thing. And you know, without a doubt, this is where you're supposed to go, and you just follow in obedience. So really cool to watch and hear you say all those things. In looking at your ministry, one of the things just kind of blows my mind away about what you're just doing fantastic, I want to get the word out there, is that you guys work with all ages. It's not just the young children, it's all ages working on it. Can you talk about, you know, specifically, because I think a lot of churches have the young kids, but you have a teenage ministry and you have an adult program, how that all took place, the vision behind that, and kind of, you know, how it got to the point where it is right now.
Yeah, it started many, many years before I got here. You know, the kids part of it, and we talked about this before we started recording, just a lot of churches see the need for the kids ministry area of it, but it becomes harder as our kiddos get older. And I think there's some assumptions that once our friends become adults, that they can just go to big church worship and it'd be fine. But if that were the case for all of us, then there would be no reason to have home groups or weekend groups or Sunday school classes or anything out for all of us, anything else for all of us typical adults. And so for our ministry, the need on the adult and the teen side came from just the desire for more community for our adult friends with disabilities. And love so that. Those classes grew from that. The demand was there, the desire was there. And so Mary and the volunteers created it. You know, as a ministry, our vision, our goal is to equip and disciple kids, teens, and adults into the life of our church.
Love that.
And so whatever, you know, whether that's a 3-year-old or an 83-year-old, it really, and it doesn't matter the age for us, that we want to create a pathway for all of our friends with disabilities and their families, a mom, dad, brother, sister, to become a part of the church, because we believe the church is incomplete without everyone.
That's right.
I mean, I think scripture is really clear. And so our goal is just to create those pathways. We use that language a lot, pathways into the church. How do we create pathways for different people in different stages of life that are impacted by disability to find community, to find Jesus, and to find who the church is, and to find the hope that is there. And it's fun to see it grow, you know, since I've been on the team for 4+ years, and even as Mary led it for 20+ years now, to see the growth of the ministry as the church has grown is really sweet. And man, it is it's booming right now. It's a lot, and mm-hmm. it's fun because the fruit is there. I think we have to be careful how we judge or measure the fruit, because it's not going to look the same as children's ministry or youth ministry, but man, the fruit is tangible, and it's, there's an eternal impact. That's pretty sweet.
Love that. I love what you just pointed out, that the fruit's going to look different, but it's still fruit nonetheless. It is just as valuable to God and should be to all of us. You know, one of the amazing things you guys are doing is a Shine Cafe. What's that all about? We love to hear about that.
Yeah. So that was terrifying, to be totally honest. So we, our church, our Blankenbaker campus, we're a multi-site, large multi-site church. And our Blankenbaker campus, which is where our Shine Ministry Suite is located, and we do programming at some of our other campuses as well. But at this campus, which is far and away the largest of our church campuses, there was a cafe. It has been here for years. The church ran it. It was called Cafe 920 because we're at 920 Blankenbaker Parkway. And when COVID happened in the spring of 2020, the cafe went dark. And of course, we stopped meeting for a short time as a church. But as we returned to worshiping in person together, the cafe stayed closed. And so we as a ministry team started talking about that before it had closed. We had a loose, very narrow sort of relationship with the cafe, where a few of our adults would volunteer just cleaning tables and doing things like that, but not hands-on on the, you know, behind the counter or point of sale or creating the items or anything like that. And so we started talking as a team. I wonder what's going to happen with the cafe, and it'd be cool. And we had been seen places like Biddy and Bo's on the East Coast, which is a coffee shop that hires adults with disabilities. And we were familiar with a lot of those types of business models. And we knew that there was great potential there for our church. The cafe is literally right in the main doors, and it's very visible. And so we started talking and praying as a team, started talking to different church pastors and leaders within our church, and just sort of, I don't know, daring God to take it, I guess, because we were very hesitant. Like, none of us on our team had any experience in food service or restaurants or coffee shops. Like, we didn't have that. That was not our skill set. Like, if we wanted to start a baseball team, then I'd have been your guy. Like, I'm ready for that, but like a coffee shop. And so we really all along the way sort of held loosely, but were excited, and the Lord just brought it together. And so in November of 21, so this was about a 1 year process. In November of 21, we opened the Shine Cafe, rebranded it, opened it as the Shine Cafe. And it's totally volunteer led. It's a combination of our Shine friends and a lot of volunteers that come alongside them. And the goal being to obviously celebrate all of our unique qualities and how the Lord has created us to support and serve one another, but also within that space to create a welcome, calming, fun space where you can come in, you can grab a cup of coffee, you can grab a snack, whether that's during the week or during and before church services. And it's just a super safe place. And it has honestly exceeded all of our expectations. It's been so fun to see the pride that our Shine friends take in that space. It's their job, it's their cafe, but it's a branch of their church. And so that's probably one of the things that we knew would exist, but probably exceeded it. Just the ownership of our church for our guys and gals with special needs, that, hey, I work in my cafe in my church. Mm-hmm. This is what I do. And it's so sweet. And then I think secondary to that, but super important, is it communicates to our church who we are as a church, that we includes all of our friends and families with disabilities and who we care about. And so you have to try really hard to walk in those main doors and not see what we're doing over in the cafe, mm-hmm. and to understand that. We've got the mission statement for the cafe really large right there by the counter where you purchase your order. And it's just sweet, you know, to see, and Shelley Roach on our team, who leads the cafe, she's done such a good job. She did not, again, have experience in that realm of food service, but to see how she has trained all of her volunteers and all of her team, and on Thursdays and Sundays, we have Thursday night services and Sunday services. just the ministry that happens in that space during those windows of time, because whether it's somebody who's coming into the church hurting and unfamiliar with our church, or someone who's been around our church for a long time, but that's just a landing place for the heaviness of life. I mean, she's told us countless stories of opportunities to just lean in with folks who know that that's a safe place to just land and maybe cry or just wrestle with what's going on, and to have a friendly face, say, "Hey, God loves you. Do you want to talk about it?" And so it's just sweet. It's been cool in ways that we would have expected, but also ways that we would have probably never expected.
Yeah, I just love that. And the transparency of it was fearful. And living by faith is fearful sometimes. You know, you step out, you're like, "God, are you sure about this?" But because you did just what you said, you know, exceedingly beyond all we can ask and think. You know, He does stuff. He's in charge of this whole process. He's doing something big, and it just, you step out in faith and watch what takes place. It's just a beautiful thing. And then you see all these other opportunities. Like you said, yeah, we're serving food, but how often do you see in the Bible, you know, God sits down with food and it becomes an incredible avenue to be able to share life with people, share hurts with people, and any kind of safe place like that. It's just fantastic. And then being right out in front and in the center of it, not trying to hide it in a room away from people because noises and all the things can be a problem, but up front and center, because, you know, if we recognize the least of these and we celebrate the least of these, we're doing exactly what the heart of Jesus is. And so amazing, really, really great things there. Something dear to us, I mean, in all services and so forth like that, is worship. And I know, speaking from our own experience, our daughter, her greatest sense of understanding and memorizing things is music. She'll hear something once and she'll memorize it. And most of all of the scripture and things that she has in her mind is due to songs that, well, I've actually, God's given me to help her get the music, get the verses, get His wisdom in there. But one of the challenges is that, you know, sometimes a lot of our kids are sensory overload with the traditional worship or more the modern worship. I love the fact that that's a part of all the different, you know, the different services and things you offer there. Can you talk about how you've created it to be, you know, a sensory-friendly environment for these kids and adults?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, we start by turning the volume down. That's right? The first thing. Right? It's so obvious, but like if you walk in a fifth grade worship room or a high school ministry worship, I mean, the volume along with the lights and the smoke and the just the all of that. And you know, we're a big church, we're a mega church. We live up to that reputation with our worship at times. I love our worship team, but it's loud and it's a lot. And so you know, in our adult spaces, our worship classes, we sort of call them a hybrid worship because we combine, you know, we bring in a live TV stream of the worship as it's happening in there. And so they're getting the same worship songs, the same worship experience. It's on a TV screen. We have speakers built into the room, but it's not too loud. There's no smoke and lights. It's very sensor friendly. The lyrics are on the screens or on screens next to the main screen. And the worship is real. They sing, we raise hands, we get after it in there. But it's in a setting that is friendlier and more welcoming than other settings where some of our folks can struggle. I mean, my son has sensory processing disorder with all of the other little moving parts in his little world, but I get that. Like, it's hard. You know, if the volume's up a little bit, it'll just turn him off. He'll run and hide. And so for our guys and gals, it's creating that environment where we can worship and experience the praise and worship and allow the Holy Spirit to move, but do it in a way that's welcoming for all. Mm. And so once the worship is finished, then we'll switch over to our own Bible teaching curriculum. And so and then we do that. And then once it's over, we turn the screens back on for the closing worship. And so rather than, as much as we love Kyle, our senior pastor, he's great, but you know, we skip over that and do our own Bible lesson that's adapted for our guys and gals, but they get that same worship experience. On the kids' side, our worship time is much shorter because of the attention span of our guys and gals and being younger. But it's the same sort of thing. It's two or three worship songs that are, you know, lyrics on the screen that just point to Jesus, volume down, sort of a calmer environment. but allowing them to dance and move and, yeah. and have that freedom of worship that leads into our Bible lesson, which is then much shorter. It's usually a 2 or 3 minute video. And then in our kids class, because our kiddos thrive with repetition, we land, and you didn't ask for this specifically, but we land in the same Bible lesson for a month.
Yeah.
And so right now it's, I think we're in Joseph right now, but whether it's Jesus feeding the 5,000 or Esther or whatever it may be, and we sort of retell that story every month. They get the video lesson, they get a movement activity where they retell the story with felt boards and that sort of thing. And then our craft or table time activity also retells and kind of echoes that story, with the goal being that for our guys and gals, we're going to just teach and teach and teach those foundational Bible stories
yeah.
that you would probably find in a children's, children's Bible. We retell those each month, you know, for 4 or 5 weeks at a time, to sort of build those foundational things. And I see it in my own son, but it's just so sweet to hear it from our parents, where because we sing the same songs for a month straight, our kiddos learn the songs and they sing them at home, or they hum them at home. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we had one of our kiddos who was talking about one of the Bible lessons. And of course he was just talking about one part of it. Mom was like, okay, he keeps talking about this. What are we, are we learning about this? Like, yeah, we're absolutely learning about that. And so it's just sweet. Again, as you said earlier, as we talked about the fruit looks a little different, but man, when our kids can hold on to those foundational Bible stories of God's goodness, his love for us, and how he provides for our needs, to see the fruit of that as our kiddos become teens and as they become adults is pretty cool. And so trying to mirror a typical church service, I guess, where you've got worship and you've got Bible study, but just adapting it in a way that is friendly and comforting for our guys and gals.
I love that. And it's accessible, right? And you're creating yeah. a scenario where you're meeting the learning styles of these different kiddos, right? So some are tangible, yeah. like tactile. You've got the felt boards, they can place those items, or the craft or whatever. And others are auditory and others are visual. And so you've got written instructions and things. That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
Yeah, and that was incorporated by people much smarter than me. I will tell you, we have some volunteers. We have a couple of volunteers who have special ed teaching experience. Mary, our ministry leader, was a special ed teacher before she was leading the ministry. But we have one particular volunteer who, she's not in our classrooms on the weekend. Her way of serving with us is she and I put together the calendar for the year. She helps kind of develop our plans, and we sort of create our own curriculum on the kids' side. And because she's got that special ed teaching training, and she has an adult with special needs in her home as a mom,
awesome.
She understands the importance of that sensory diet and importance of kind of meeting those different needs and allowing our guys and gals to learn and embrace it and it just make it a win for everybody. Because we want it to be a win for our kiddos so that it can be a win for mom and dad.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's the key. We want them to be able to come back, because church is daunting under the best of circumstances for yep. our families. Any barriers that we can remove in that journey to make it easier, that's what we want to do as a church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Oh my yeah. goodness. You know, you mentioned too, the worship for the older kiddos. Sounds mm-hmm. like it's like teen to adult. You're yep. actually integrating them into the worship service that's going on in church, and in the sense that you're bringing that feed in, but at a lower volume. What I love about that is you're honoring that they are at an age where they're adults, right? And maybe they're not developmentally there, but you're honoring that. And that's such a beautiful thing. We know our daughter, there's something in her now, she's 19. She wants to step up into that adult role, or at least teenage role at times. And yeah. we don't always know when that's going to be. So just kind of laying it out there, but doing it in a modified way that works for them is beautiful.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah. And it's one of those, you know, you hear a lot of conversations in our world about integration and, you know, integrating into the church, or, you know, and obviously we don't live in a space where we are separating our guys and gals from the rest of the church. It's sort of a reverse inclusion model where yeah. our volunteers are coming in and we're bringing them in, and it's becoming one big worship experience. And so we have all ages that serve with us. Even we have kiddos that serve with their parents, like 9, 10-year-olds that serve, who typically wouldn't be cleared to serve. We treat them as students, but they are in there, and it's creating an environment where It's all types of folks worshiping together in a controlled setting that meets the needs of our folks that have special needs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's not for everyone. We have a lot of guys and gals in our church that are a part of a typical weekend group. They're a part of the large corporate worship. But because we have a group of people with very unique needs, our goal is to create different ways to meet those needs. And in our space, that's what it looks like, but it's by no means the only way that we, you know, disciple and worship with our folks with special needs. It's just a very specialized way to check those boxes. Otherwise they wouldn't be able to worship. Right. And that is the goal for us.
Right. It just comes back to, like you said, in any way you can remove those barriers, the better. You know, one of the most amazing things you guys are doing is a summer camp that you call Camp Freedom. We would love to hear more about that.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing we do. Awesome. We just did this year's the end of June, and it's 3 days of camp. We do it at a place called Country Lake Christian Retreat, which is a retreat place for camps and that sort of thing that is busy year round. This was the 20th year of Camp Freedom.
Wow.
Mary started the camp 20 years ago with 13 campers and 13 volunteers. This year we were at 150 campers and 150 volunteers.
Wow.
And it was the biggest one we've ever had. Mm-hmm. But it's literally, the goal is to create a camp experience for our guys and gals with special needs that is adapted for them to feel and experience every part of what a typical camp looks like. And so obviously we're a church camp, so we do worship and we put them in groups and they do team time and they lean in scripturally and you know, it's all about Jesus. But then in addition to that, we do all the activities. We swim in the lake and in the pool for those that like either of those. We do horseback riding, we do axe throwing, we do archery, we do fishing, we do zip line for those that can do that. There's a weight limit on that because it's a lot of tandem zip lining for a lot of our guys and gals. But even for some of our guys and gals who are in wheelchairs, who they have to be able to do certain things to even to tandem do that, but to provide some of those experiences, we do paintball, but not a paintball war, was just target shooting because we don't want to shoot at each other. But again, the goal is to create these camp experiences and the community that comes from doing those things together, from worshiping together, from just trusting people to care for their needs in ways that you're super vulnerable. I think in our ministry, I Like Ours, I mentioned empathy earlier when we were talking, I think before we started recording, but I think the two words that I always go back to in our ministry is vulnerability and empathy. There's so much vulnerability in our world, our ministry world, and for our adults, they don't get some of that community, and some of that doesn't come because there's a level of need that most people aren't comfortable providing. It's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
And so at a camp like ours, there's a lot of vulnerability, there's a lot of trust, and man, it is just sweet to see the Lord move in some really, really cool ways. And it's my favorite thing we do because at the end of those 3 days, the community that is built from those teams and from those campers and from the volunteers, they'll all tell you it's a life-changing type of weekend. And we have campers who show up sad because they know on Monday it's going to be over and it's going to be another year before it starts again.
Yeah.
And it's just a sweet weekend. And I'll tell you, I give Mary a lot of credit because that was a vision she had a long time ago. And to see it grow is just really, really cool.
That's so awesome. You hit on so many different levels, you know, that the accessibility to be around friends and to be able to connect these individuals, it's a challenge. And it's because of their significant need, a lot of time their best friend is just their aide and so forth, and they don't necessarily have peers. I also like, you know, the camp, typical camp, 6-7 days, you have it as 3 days. You're realistic, you're scaffolding, and obviously it's all thought out about success. And success is what can you do to make it successful? What type of opportunities can you feel like they can experience without overwhelming and pushing it too far, but yet pushing it out there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Take kids, don't look at their disability as something they can't do, and go out there and do it. If a kid's in a wheelchair and still can do a zip line, we go for it, you know? And those are just fantastic things, real exciting.
Yeah, Mary will tell you one of her favorite pictures, and we've got a couple of them on our Facebook page where we shared some photos, but it's pictures of the at the lake or at the horseback riding or the zip line, the pictures of the empty wheelchairs.
It's just awesome.
The sweetest thing. I know one of our guys took a picture of one of the empty wheelchairs beside the path that leads down the beach to the lake, and of course it was a big puffy cloud kind of day, so it's a great photo. But just the impact of knowing that chair is empty because our friend who usually is in that chair is in the lake swimming with friends and they've made a way, you know, and, obviously it takes you to it brings about the story of the paralyzed man and his friends who took him to Jesus, you know, and it's, you know, it is such a real way that we do that over 3 days, but, obviously, it impacts the parents. I mean, it is a weekend of respite for mom, dad, brother, and sister because their loved one's being cared for. So we're ministering to mom and dad in that way. But one of my favorite parts of it are the friendships that carry on beyond that weekend. Oh. And there's so many stories between campers becoming friends because they were on the same team or in the same dorm, or campers and volunteers who became friends who continued to hang out and do things after. And that respite continues for mom and dad because that group of volunteers and that group of campers have continued to hang out.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, those are, again, sort of like all of these stories, man, that goes way beyond what we are talented enough to orchestrate. Like, that is the Lord doing really cool stuff way beyond what we had planned and scheduled.
Well, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, just as I'm thinking about a child with a disability that's in a wheelchair and no longer in the wheelchair, someday that's going to happen. And it's a glimpse of what eternity is going to look like. You know, they're removed from what seemed like a disability and free to live. And you know, just this vision I have of, you know, where God's taking all of us at some point, that the disability is all had a purpose and there will be no more disability at some point, you know, in our future. You've covered a lot about all the stuff you're doing, and for a church to try to jump in and do all that you're doing, way too much to jump in right away. But what I also like is you expressed the transparency. There's fear in stepping out and taking the steps in faith and providing a ministry. So how would you take that with the very real things you've done just recently and tell a church, encourage a church to step out, provide some disability ministry, and just take those steps in faith?
Yeah, I would, you know, I think one of the hardest things for pastors or church leaders or ministry leaders when they think about a ministry like ours is, A, they're gonna be fearful of not having enough resources, not having enough volunteers, not having enough of something, space, just insert whatever it is, because those are tangible things. Like, I get it. Those are very real things that a church leader and a pastor has to take into account. I would tell them, A, that it is very clear in the Bible that this is a group of people that Jesus cared for. He was intentional to go out of his way to not only heal physically, to obviously communicate to those around him that he was God and that he was different, but the intentional care that carried on. The blind man in John 9, like, he didn't just heal his blindness. He saved him spiritually.
Yes.
And then that guy went and told everybody. Like, there's a lot to that story and so many of these stories. And so I think, number one, it's biblical that we examine ways, just like we care for widows and orphans, just like we care for the marginalized, wherever they're at. This is a group of people that are unchurched. Eric Carter, who works at Baylor now, was at Vanderbilt. He's very involved in research and doing work related to special needs community and religious circles. His studies show that 80% of individuals or families who have someone with a disability in their home are unchurched.
Yep.
So 80% of the disability community are unchurched, literally across the street from our churches, down the road from our churches. Like, this is an unchurched community. And so what can we as churches do to start bridging that gap? Like you said, it is daunting if you look at a church like ours, not because we do it so well, we've just been doing it so long. Mm-hmm. Like, when you've done something for 20 plus years, you're going to have more programmed pieces and more things happening. For churches today who think, okay, what's my first step? Look inside your congregation. Are there families or individuals in your church that have special needs? And if so, go talk to them, have conversations, and ask them, okay, what needs aren't being met? What are ways that we can help minister to your family in a more tangible way? Is that creating a different worship setting? Is that creating a small room where their son or daughter can get away from typical children's ministry for a few minutes because it's daunting, so you don't have to keep calling them and telling them to come get their kid because they're not surviving well?
Yes.
You know, is it, whatever it may be, but talk to them. The second thing is, I think when you lean into the families and build these relationships with families that have a kiddo with special needs, they rub shoulders with the disability community because they're going to therapy, they're going to schools, or they're going to different places. And because it's an unchurched church group, if they're in your church, they love Jesus, and they're surrounded by a group of people like them who are unchurched, the pathway to evangelism is right there.
Absolutely.
And so if the charge in the Great Commission is for us to go make disciples, we don't have to look far when they're literally in our communities. They're just struggling with the barriers that exist, whether it's their own family and the dynamics, or because we've created our churches in such boxes that they don't fit into. So how do we adapt our church boxes to be more welcoming, to be more inclusive, and to open those doors so that more of our families can just be a part of what we're doing and we can minister to them? And so I will tell you, the volunteer thing, it's amazing how many churches you hear from who start it and then they think, we didn't know we had so many people who had a heart for the disability community. Whether it's a special ed teacher, whether it's someone who has a, who grew up with a cousin who had Down syndrome, and oh goodness, this, so I just need to be a buddy to a kid in a third grade classroom because they need a little more help. Yes, I will do that. If you ask them to lead a third grade classroom, they will say no, absolutely. But if you tell them to be a buddy to a third grade girl who has Down syndrome, who just needs a little help, and the Lord raises them up, I'm telling you, it happens. And it's a slow process, but you just have to trust that the Lord's going to work out those details. And so don't be afraid of the unknowns, because that's where faith in the Holy Spirit, like I'm a big believer that you don't have to have the math worked out to write the check. I really don't think you do. Not when it comes to trying to minister to people, and don't be afraid of the messiness. If you got into ministry to avoid messiness, then you probably shouldn't have gotten into ministry. Let's start there first. But our ministry is messy. But again, the fruit is so far. It's just so much better than any negative that comes with the messiness. It's worth it. And I've seen it in my own family. Like, I am blessed by our army of volunteers every weekend because my wife and daughter and I can go to church because somebody's hanging out with Isaac. And man, it's, I wouldn't be in church and I wouldn't be in ministry if it wasn't for people like that. And so I think we as churches just need to trust that if the Lord wants that, and he was clear biblically that that's who Jesus cared about, then we need to lean into how we can do that in our communities. And just because the church down the road's doing it doesn't mean your church shouldn't be doing it too.
That's right. That call to action's already there from God. Love it.
One of the things too about working with these kids, and I think we talked before we got on recording, is they're so authentic. So when you serve this population, it's not like a typical teenager or something like that. They're so appreciative of what you do, and they take notice and they let you know. And that's one of the big, I think, rewards of working with this population, you know? So,
oh, for sure. Definitely. Yeah. It's, there's no fakeness in our world. It's, you're not going to get a lot of fake. You're going to get what you get, but there's a sweetness in that. The world, there's enough fake and all that stuff out in our world. And I think in our churches and for our families, there needs to be some authenticity. I think, and also for our moms and dads, like, they need to have the freedom to ask, why did God make my son this way? Like, what was his plan for that? And what am I supposed to do with that? And so we as the church should have an answer for that, that, hey, here's what John 9 says. He created the blind man so that the works of God could be seen in him and that God could get the glory, and then it was good for the blind man. Obviously, we're not in the business of healing many people physically, but man, we've got spiritual healing that we are eager to share that the Lord is going to do. And so for us to be able to lean in with families, to even to lean in with our guys and gals, hey, God made you this way so that you could glorify him. So let's do that, because you have so many abilities The world's going to tell you what you can't do. We as the church want to tell you what you can do and empower you to go make disciples too. And man, it's just sweet to see it. And so, you know, there was one Sunday soon after we opened our Shine Suite that Kyle Eidelman, our senior pastor, came in and visited and was walking around. Well, one of our gals didn't know who he was, didn't know he was the senior pastor or whatever. And so when he came in, I heard her say, "Who's that guy?" You know, and whatever. And so as he's leaving, she says it really loud. "Now, who was that guy again?" Of course, Kyle heard it this time. He laughed. And so I told him, "Man, if you want to stay humble, you just come hang out with
That's
us."
That's right.
Very grounded. It doesn't matter if you're on stage or you're preaching sermons or whatever. You just come in here. It's going to be real. We're going to be who we are. And it's going to be really sweet because the Lord's going to be glorified in that.
Oh, man, that is so great. Good I'm stuff. So glad you shared that. That's the best. Yeah. You know, Garrett, one of the things we love to do is always wrap up with this question, which is, what's one thing you'd like to share with our listeners to help bring hope for the road ahead?
It's a great question. So I think, depending on who our audience is, I think if you're somebody in a church setting, if you're a pastor or a minister or someone where a ministry like ours is not happening, then my encouragement would be to just be willing to ask questions and learn about how your church can grow in this area. It doesn't have to be a specific kind of programming. It doesn't have to be a giant budget. It doesn't have to be all of these things. It's more of a mindset and a DNA. How can we as a church be more effective in ministering to families impacted by disability? So what steps can we take towards that? And just pursue that. It's no contest. It's not a competition. It's about reaching the disability community. If you're someone listening that is directly impacted by disability, my thing that I hold on to is God didn't do this by accident, and He wants to be glorified and He wants to do good in it. And so if you're a mom or a dad, if you're an adult or a teenager or a kiddo with special needs, whoever this may cross paths with, I just find comfort in knowing that, man, none of this is an accident. The Lord created each of us with a purpose to glorify Him, and there's good in that for us, and He's going to do it. And so the more we lean in and trust Him and take those steps of faith, we'll see the fruit in our own lives and in the lives of the people around us. And so it's a daunting path for sure. I will say that. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I never will sugarcoat it. It's hard. I told my wife that I was doing this today, and we had a particularly difficult night last night with our son. And she said, "Well, there's some real life for you." And I said, "Yeah, it was a hard road for 3 hours last night."
That's right.
But I think there's comfort when you can come together with other parents, other people who are on that journey. And when you can do that in a setting where God's in the middle of it, He's at the center of that. That's where the true hope comes from.
That's right.
Because otherwise it feels like you're fighting this battle of caring for someone with so many needs, and there is no path towards hope or fruit or goodness. But when Jesus is at the center of it, you know that, hey, He's got a plan that eternally is going to be very good. And so don't lose sight of that. I don't know how I would do this as a dad if I didn't have Jesus. I mean, I'm sure you guys get that. I can't imagine this path as a parent of a kiddo with special needs without the hope I have in Jesus. And so I just want others to have that same hope.
Oh, it's so wonderful. So much of this that you shared, oh my gosh, it's just so informative, so heartfelt, and so focused on Jesus and where is He in all this. And so thank you so much for coming on and sharing this. I know it's just going to be incredibly valuable and hopeful, you know, to the people who listen to this.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Appreciate the invitation, and thanks for all that you guys are doing to encourage and to share the hope of Jesus, and to know that this is not a road that ends in a negative or a bad way, that there is a happy ending at the end of this path.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep.
Resources and contact information for today's podcast will be included in the show notes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share us with others and be sure to follow us so you won't miss an episode. And we'd love to hear from you, so please leave us a comment or rating and connect with us on social media or on our website at hopeonthehardroad.org.